We're in Perek Yud Piska Bet. It is not every moment of every day that a person is worthy or capable. Is he ra'ui? Lehofa'ot ruchaniyot alyonot, to receive very lofty spiritual messages or hofa'ot or appearances. Meaning Rav Kook says sometimes a person may be very drawn to these hofa'ot ruchaniyot, to these flashes of clarity that are very spiritual and very lofty. And a person may feel very drawn to that type of learning. A learning where he is attaching himself to very high and lofty and spiritual messages. Yet at the same time, lo b'chol eit ra'ui ha'adam. A person is not always worthy of it. This is an incredible chiddush, because I don't think Rav Kook would ever say is that sometimes a person is not worthy of understanding of a Rav Chaim or understanding of the Im Tomar of Tosfos. That's something that happens much more b'derech hateva. You sit down with your chavrusa, you start to break your head, you look up the Gemara in the Tosfos quotes, the Im Tomar, and you figure it out. Now, sometimes person has more siyata dishmaya, sometimes a little less, sometimes you get stuck, you have to ask your Rebbe, okay. But here, regarding these hofot uchaniyot elyonot, regarding this type of learning that's revolving around pnimius haTorah, the limud haTorah, where you're not just receiving the rational, you know, the intellectual idea, but rather you're getting a flash of something beyond. And you're getting a glimpse into a spiritual world that goes beyond what's happening in your brain. It's much more of an encounter of the neshama than an understanding of the brain. And therefore, sometimes Rav Kook says, lo b'chol eit ra'ui. Sometimes you're not going to be worthy of it. In other words, your ability to understand these very lofty and spiritual messages and teachings is going to have a lot to do with where you're holding spiritually and religiously. So for instance, if a person, let's say, is not careful about Shmiras Einayim, so he may get stuck, and he may feel that he's being blocked for understanding these hofa'ot ruchaniyot elyonot, because God isn't opening the window for him. He's not allowing this individual to get a glimpse of that very inner and lofty light. Or if a person, let's say, is not careful in Shmirat HaLashon, or Kibud Ave'en, could be anything. God has to deem you worthy in order for you to grasp these hokpa'ot yuchaniyot elyonot. This is something that you have to earn. So you can have this situation where a person is very thirsty for it, and a person has a need for it, but he's not ra'ui. The ha'itim harabot she'en bahem he'ora elyona, So what's the mahalach? What's the avoda of the individual when he feels that God is blocking him out from grasping that very inner and spiritual Torah? If a person feels that God is simply not revealing to him that which he is thirsty for, that inner hidden Torah isn't being revealed to him. So what's the mahalach? What's the avoda? What is God trying to tell the person? So Rav Kook says something fascinating. you should hear that as a message that this is a time that should be set aside by Limudim HaNigdim. This is a time to focus more on the revealed Torah, on the Torah that's Nigles, the Torah that's more rational, that's more halachic, right? More down to earth, more tangible, something you can define. V'la'avodah ma'asit. And this is a time to work on yourself. Meaning, instead of getting frustrated or depressed, why is this not working for me? The cook says, this is not the time to be sad or depressed or even discouraged. This is a time to shift your focus. There is such a metzias. Sometimes God does not deem you worthy. But what we're supposed to hear in that, the message you're supposed to hear in that situation is shift your focus. Focus more on your eon, on your bikias. Focus more on your avodah ma'asit, on your growth, on your improving. In other words, there's always some chelak in Torah that I'm shy of to. There's always some part of Torah that I can connect with. Even if the inner Torah, the Torah of the hidden light, is not being revealed to me. Okay? So instead of getting down about that, and instead of being discouraged by it and giving up hope, so shift your focus. Now listen to this. Aval kevan she'or ha'neshama mitparetz, miyad tzrichim liten lo et chofsho. But the minute that your neshama is restored and it begins to yearn again and it begins to reach for that hidden Torah, in other words, when the neshama is rehabilitated, so to speak, and the neshama once again reaches that level where it is worthy and it's thirsty and it wants that hidden Torah, miyad tzrichim liten lo et chofsho. You have to make sure to set your neshama free. Now, this is a little harif and it's a little extreme. Because what Rav Kook is saying here is that sometimes, if he's comparing Sisrei Torah, the learning of Pnimius HaTorah, if he's comparing that to the act of freeing the neshama, what does that mean about the learning of Torah HaNigles? What's Rav Kook teaching us about the revealed Torah and the tangible Torah? That sometimes that can enslave a soul. When he says that when the neshama wants that hidden Torah, you have to set it free, that phrase is very telling, very revealing how Rav Kook sees the connection between neshama and Torah. If the neshama is learning the wrong Torah, the neshama will feel that it's been imprisoned. It can actually feel imprisoned in Torah. And instead of trying to break the neshama, instead of trying to shape your neshama and to mold it so that it will accept this hidden Torah and feel good about it, in other words, instead of giving the neshama musar and saying, just accept the Torah that you're being taught, Adarabba, you have to make sure to set that neshama free. It's incredible, an incredible image here in Rav Kook. She'yelech v'yitrachet. Sometimes the neshama needs to be broadened. The neshama doesn't want to be in that cage of definitions. In other words, I'm just thinking about my own learning when I learned this Pistan Rav Kook. I could get a tremendous geschmack out of learning the geder. What exactly is the geder of Bayura Bayumatsa? I could do that for hours. But at the same time, at a certain point, the neshama feels it's all about definitions. Because if it's all about definitions, then the neshama can theoretically, potentially, feel that it's being closed in. It's getting claustrophobic. You know, spiritual it feels spiritually claustrophobic, because the definitions are like these walls and caving in on it. And Rukuk says sometimes the neshama needs the hitracher. Sometimes it needs to feel the breadth of Torah. Just like sometimes you can be indoors a little too long and you're like, I just have to step outside and like see the fresh air. You know, you're in quarantine for 2 weeks and you go nuts. You can't see your four walls anymore. Just take me outside, take me anywhere. So the neshama also feels that. And the neshama also has this need, she'elech v'yitrachev. It wants to see, you know, the view out there. It wants to go out and see, you know, from north to south, the entire horizon and the mountains and the valleys. Yitzayer, yidameh. Listen to these verbs. The neshama feels a need to imagine, to paint a picture. In other words, the neshama also wants to be creative. It doesn't just want to be nekamba. It's sayer. The neshama has a need to come up with its own imagery, its own flow of energy. Yidameh, it needs to imagine things. Yaskil v'yasig, it wants to constantly grasp more and more. Yishav yishtokei ka'adam v'gavheg bohim. And the neshama wants to constantly reach new heights. The mekor shor sho, and it naturally wants to go back to the source of its existence. It wants to go back to its root, where it began. The chaye nishmato, to the light of his soul. What's the light of a person's soul? That's the Ribono Shalom himself. A person feels a natural pull to reconnect with God himself, to the light that serves as the soul of all the worlds, to the light of God himself, the tuvo, to his goodness, and his splendor. Meaning sometimes the neshama wants to connect with that light in its pure state. Not after it's been developed and descended into a world of physicality. In other words, the first prakim of Orot HaTorah are all about what? They're all about how every detail in Torah, even a Se'if Katan Mishnah Berurah, is a ray of light that's coming from God himself. It just happens to be clothed in this particular halacha. And the later prakim of Orot HaTorah, I feel like the counterbalance of that. Yes, it's true that every single halacha in Hilchos Chametz is an embodiment. It's a manifestation of a great life. But sometimes the neshama feels a need for the light itself, for something higher than all those details. It feels enclosed and claustrophobic by all the details. And another Se'if Katan in Mishnah Berurah. And another Se'if Katan. So a person, instead of suppressing that need of the neshama, you have to grant the neshama that need. There's a big chiddush here, Avosai, and I don't think I've seen it really anywhere else besides in Rukut. And that is, a person has to learn to hear the messages that are emanating from within. You spend a lot of time in yeshiva listening to Rebbeim. And maybe this is a class, this is a great way maybe to finish the year of Orot HaTorah. In yeshiva, there's a lot about listening to your Rebbeim, right? Doing what it says in the Sefer. You know, davening the way the Svarim tell you to daven and live the way the Svarim tell you to live. There's a lot of subjugating yourself, and all that is true. That's definitely a true message, and that's how we have to live. Torah tziva lanu Moshe, it's a mitzvah. And you don't ask questions. On the other hand, this parak in Orot HaTorah, I think, is providing us with the counterbalance of that message. And that is, sometimes, because we're trying so much to hear the voices on the outside that we don't end up hearing the messages on the inside. You don't end up hearing the messages that are coming from within. Can you guys just hold on 1 second? Yeah. Please, 1 minute. Yeah, sorry, I had something pressing I had to take care of. My neshama was calling me to something. So what's Rav Cook teaching us here? That if you leave yeshiva, and your goal is only to listen to the voices coming to you from the outside, then you're going to be missing something. Because a person also has to learn how to be attentive to his neshama. You have to hear the voices coming from the inside, because sometimes they're off the mark, and sometimes it's a yetzer hara, and sometimes it's stama taiva that's clothed in some, like, you know, sometimes the yetzer hara knows how to clothe itself in like this in this yetzer hatov. You know, like I don't want to give examples, but I just remember, you know, from high school, like doing all like these sketchy things because, you know, we're going to have a hashpa. You know, I'm going to go with my friends to do that thing because if I'm there, you know, I can have an effect and I can be the kari of them, etc. So I'm going to go do what they're doing. You know, sometimes it's just tama yetzahara and it's clothed in like this, I'm going to save the world, you know? You know, some people could get involved in real big mitzvahs, but for the wrong reasons, you know? So sometimes the voice isn't coming from a good place. So Rav Cook is teaching us a tremendous yisod. Our neshama also is screaming, and it also has needs, and it also has desires. And we have to learn how to listen to our neshama and set it free. We have to learn how to give our neshama what it needs. It also needs a certain dose, a certain measure of that inner light before the stage that it's clothed in something. It needs a Mora Nevuchim or a Maharal. You know, sometimes you learn Maharal and you're like, I don't know what I just walked out. I don't know what I just walked out with after learning that Maharal, but it did something to me. Or very often I'll learn a Piskan Rav Cook. Like sometimes in Orot HaTshuva, I'll learn a piska. I'm like, I don't know really what he said here. Like, I don't know exactly what he just said, but I'm a different person. I feel like it purified me somehow. Because sometimes the neshama needs to connect with those inner messages before those messages have taken on some rational thought. And there's a lot to be said for that. So that's one of the avodas of yeshiva, to learn how to listen to yourself talking, to learn how to identify the kolos of kedusha that are coming from within, and making some decisions in life based on that. Sometimes you have to decide, make certain decisions in life based on what my neshama is telling me. There's a lot of trust in Rav Cook. There's a lot of trust that a person needs to put in himself. There's so much goodness that he finds within the individual. You can't always go through life suspecting yourself, oh, that's probably just a yetzer hara. That's probably just a taiva. No, there's a lot of good coming from within. And that good has to be realized. Okay, Rabosai, what can I tell you? I have a tremendous, tremendous with this great opportunity to learn these words of Kedusha with you. I wish each and every one of you had slacha meruba in the next steps that you take in life. I hope it'll be back in Yeshiva. I don't know. What are your plans, Alicia, for next year?